This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Andrew Begin, Galloway Money, Rhode Island.
Pulp Fiction is a 1994 neo-noir crime film directed by Quentin Tarantino. It is known for its non-linear narrative structure, memorable characters, and stylized dialogue. The character of Jules Winfield, played by Samuel Jackson, delivers the iconic Ezekiel 25:17 speech before executing his victims. Do you know the Bible verse he quotes does not exist in the way he recites it? Tarantino wrote it specially for the film.
No.
Did you buy a physical good with Bitcoin last week?
No.
Volleyball was invented in 1895 by William G. Morgan, a YMCA physical education director in Holyoke, Massachusetts, USA. Did you know it was initially called Mintonette?
No.
Woodworking is one of the oldest crafts in the world, with evidence of woodworking tools dating back to the Stone Age. Do you know the world's oldest known wood sculpture, the Lion Man, is estimated to be over 40,000 years old? It was discovered in Germany in 1939 and showcases the early mastery of woodworking techniques.
No.
If you're not spending sats, you're short Bitcoin.
Yes.
You love California burritos. Do you prefer the ones with beef over the ones with chicken?
Yes. It depends.
Regenerative farming is an approach to agriculture that focuses on improving and enhancing soil health, biodiversity, and ecosystem resilience. The primary goal of regenerative farming is to regenerate and restore degraded soils and ecosystems, promoting sustainable and resilient farming practices. Is regenerative farming keeping you busy every day?
No.
We heard you like to drink coffee. Is the Satoshi specialty blend from Charito Cafe El Salvador amongst your favorites?
Yes.
The Tao Te Ching is a Chinese classic text written around 400 BC and traditionally credited to the sage Laozi. The Tao Te Ching has been translated into Western languages over 250 times, mostly to English, German, and French. According to Holmes Welch, it is a famous puzzle which everyone would like to feel he has solved. Did you solve this puzzle?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yes.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride.
This is episode 81 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by our friends from BL3P, the European Bitcoin exchange from Bitonic in the Netherlands. Thank you guys for helping us out to complete our mission. And if you also want to help out, then support us in our mission, follow us on Twitter, subscribe at our YouTube, and of course, go to our Telegram group where you can get in contact with us and ask us every question you would like.
Conecta el mundo.
Andrew.
Welcome, Andrew.
Good to have you on the show, man.
Nice to be here. I'm a fan. It's awesome. Fun to be on the other side of the camera, on the other side of the video, you know, on the yes or no's and everything. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh really, yeah, the yes and no's.
The pleasure is ours, man. And I had so much fun creating those questions because the people don't know, we sent a script before the recording, and then our guests we asked the guests to fill in some basic stuff about themselves and your favorite book, your favorite hobbies, yada yada. And at the favorite book, you said the Tao Te Ching, and I was like, oh, I never heard of that book. And then I was googling it, and it was like a very old classic Chinese text, and I was like, Is this guy trolling me, or is he for real?
Did you say this is episode 81?
It is episode 81, yeah.
So the Tao Te Ching is a book of 81 chapters.
Oh, man. Really?
And each chapter is only a paragraph or two. It's very short. Awesome. You can listen to it in 2 hours max. It's amazing. Check it out.
But you did read it then, because I was thinking he's trolling me, man, because
I'm dead serious. But, I'm dead serious. Really? I've listened to that book 100 times. Yeah. It's amazing.
And why is this so difficult then? Because I read also that people had real difficulties to just translate it, because the Chinese culture is so different from the English culture. And so they had a real big problems to get it translated correctly. And I can't imagine, because I didn't read the book, but can you maybe, do you understand what they mean?
Yeah, I do. So, well, there's probably a couple things to it. First of all, translating, I think, Chinese to languages to other languages is tough, because just some things don't translate specifically. Yeah. So like in Chinese, you might have a saying that says you're going to go take it from 7 to 8, which means like it's becoming intense or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think like unpacking that from a 5,000-year-old book is probably very difficult. But in the translation that I listened to, you know, the intro says, you know, this book is a finger pointing at the moon. Right. And you may have heard this like Buddhist, saying or something, where if you're looking at the finger, you can't see the moon. So it's like you're trying to take what the finger, you're translating the finger, but it's pointing at something different. So you can't just translate the text. You have to translate what it's trying to mean and trying to say, which is essentially at the core is like non-attachment and like what you might consider when you think of Buddhism or Taoism or something like this. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, and I also learned that it's mostly difficult because of the difference in emotions and moods and all that kind of stuff. It happens to be very different in even on text in China than in let's say English. So
you know this book though, if you've heard a saying like, the journey of 1,000 miles starts beneath your feet, or like with a single step.
I think it's referenced, and I know it resonates. The name resonates, so perhaps it is below some quotes that I've read before. Because
your pronunciation was also on point.
Yeah, course, really.
I think you read the book.
No, the Tao Te Ching.
I think also for the Bitcoiners, I think that there's a lot that resonates. Yeah, you know, like there's a chapter about governance is like frying a fish, too much poking ruins it, or something like this.
Oh,
governance of a family or a country and everything. And so, definitely awesome. Worth it. Checking out.
Hey, and Andrew,
Satoshi, Satoshi Nakamoto.
Satoshi Nakamoto. No, but from man to man, we had two questions. We had one question that was, if you are not spending sats, you're short Bitcoin. Yeah. And then I asked you a couple of questions before, did you buy a physical good with Bitcoin last week? And your answer was no. Well, what do you have to say to that, Andrew?
Well, it's funny that we say this, because I think I spent sats on a physical good about 10 days ago.
Okay.
I don't have the chance, but I
and
bought...
And you're on a long time preference, so you don't buy
it. I don't buy many things. I went to Boston to the Freedom Festival, the meetup before the Freedom Festival, and I bought Jeremy from Satoshi's Journal. I bought the children's book. And Need Creations, Phil from Need Creations, I bought the playing cards, and I bought a Progressive's Case for Bitcoin from Jason Meyer, all with Satoshis. And that was like less than 2 weeks ago. So
Well, it's not last week, but we will, put it on the low time frame preference. And can you tell us something about woodworking? Because I digged into your Twitter accounts and your history, of course, and I saw some books and I saw you busy. Replacing a barn or something, or can you tell us about, because I can imagine that's another hobby of yours, but it's a very time consuming hobby. How do you put that next to Bitcoin, who's also very time consuming? I mean, do you sleep, or what's your magic?
Well, I'm tired all the time. I mean, I have two children, and I have Bitcoin, and I have some hobbies. And I think that woodworking is a hobby that involves my hands and gets me away from the screen, you know, and which I think is important. You know, some people say touch grass, for me, it's often touch sawdust or something and, you know, build something. And so I've built a bed and some shelves, and I've torn down last weekend I tore down our living room ceiling and I replaced it with proper boards. It was this
cool
panels, and it's also time. So I was just talking to somebody from Bitcoin Yucatan Project and we were referring books to each other. I also listen to Bitcoin books while I'm doing woodworking. So like there is no time without learning.
That's the way, right? I mean, I listen to Bitcoin podcasts when I'm walking the dog and, you know, yeah. I mean, yeah. when doing the grocery. So
exactly.
And it's also
so
works
it's a time when I can,
like yeah. you're saying, well, with two kids and you're finding a reason to create something. So you have a reason and then later you can enjoy that it's finished. So yeah. Love it.
Yeah, it's very meditative yeah. for me. And then yeah, doing it with Twitter Spaces or podcasts is yeah, twice as good.
Hey, and
yeah, and I saw you made something above the stove you have.
Yeah.
So that was for, okay. Because the wood was like 250 years old or something.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've only been a Bitcoiner for a handful of years, but many of the things, the qualities that I have or that I enjoy aligned very well from the beginning, which is don't be over consumeristic and buying new and cheap things. I've always enjoyed quality and age. And so we found some 250-year-old chestnut boards from an old farmhouse. And it's funny because lumber is so expensive that like you couldn't even buy this much wood for as much as we got this old wood and with has a character to it. And so I built a shelf for my wife over the stove, which she designed, and I built that. So yeah, it's like all of these things align to a pretty happy life, I would say, is like aligning some passions and some Bitcoin and family and everything else.
Awesome.
And it looks great because I think I'm not an expert, but the stove also looks a bit classic, so it really looks great.
Funny story about the classic stove. We had one of these glass top like new stoves, and we were remodeling our kitchen, and I kneeled on it and I put my knee through it. And this is like a $2,000 stove, probably. I don't know. I didn't buy it. It was here when we got the house. And so we gave that one away and we bought for $200, like this old classic stove with old school knobs. Same thing, my car, everything I have is like, it's old, but it's quality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so perfect. Perfect, man. Yeah, well, great story. We're going to talk about Gallo Money and Blink Wallet, but maybe you can give us a small introduction of, how did you get involved into those projects before we start?
Yeah, sure. So it was it's actually been about 2 years now, almost coming up on 2 years working at Gallo. And you know, when I started falling into the rabbit hole, I fell extremely quickly. And hard. I spent 15 years in digital advertising and marketing before this, and always wondering like, man, I am part of the machine that is like accentuating the consumerism and, you know, planned obsolescence and buying new things and having credit cards. And so when I started like really understanding Bitcoin in a deeper way, I was like, oh no, like I need to go work on this because I'm like part of the own problem that the problem that I like see. So it was actually Bitcoin 2021. Jack Dorsey was interviewed by Gladstein and he said like Bitcoin's the most important thing in my life. I'm going to be working on it. And this was at the perfect moment where I was in that moment where you're like either the world has gone crazy or I'm crazy. I can't tell which. With Jack, it was somebody who I knew from decades of like, you know, Twitter and the fiat like world. And so I was like, okay, it's not just me. And so I got my resume dusted out. I found Gallo and been here. Yeah. About 2 years. It's been amazing. The team is just killer, remote around the world, building open source Bitcoin banking infrastructure. Yeah. Also building Blink, which is a custodial Lightning wallet that's open source as well, formerly known as Bitcoin Beach Wallet. I'm sure we can get into it, but it's been an amazing journey. Like working with Bitcoiners on Bitcoin projects and Bitcoin adoption is just like, I couldn't ask for any more.
And what are the most important things that you brought to Gallo Money from your more commercial period, if I have to state it like that?
Yeah, sure. I'm old enough where I was one of the early people on Facebook, you know, when it was still like in colleges, right? Right. Before it like spread out to like grandmothers and like everything else. And so I'm in this millennial type of age group where every job that I ever had, I was doing something that nobody knew how to do because it was pretty new. It was brand new. There was no learning about it in school. Search engine optimization, social media marketing, like all of these different user experience, right? Like you know, now you have like you can get a degree in user experience, you know. And like and before it was like you just had to figure it out. And so I think that you know, 12 or 15 years of kind of just figuring these like marketing and strategy and customer experience things out made me a good fit for like a very small team that everybody needs to wear a lot of hats, right? It's not like you're, you know, you just fit into one little, you know, job. And so I think my skill set touches on a lot of different elements. And so I think that is what allowed me to come in and provide some value to the team, because most of the Galloway team is devs and technical folks. Yeah. And yeah, so there's a few of us that are non-technical and I'm one of those people. And so I have to be able to put on different hats to, you know, to try and pull some weight.
So, sounds like I can also apply for a job then, because I'm
on the test it out with some questions, Steph. Maybe some technical stuff. No.
Yeah. Well, this show isn't about great. Me, right? It's about Andrew.
But it's great that it's possible to be able to give something to the Bitcoin community and work for Bitcoin company and not be pure technical. So that's also good for everybody to know. Yeah.
Sounds like a great fit to me.
Indeed.
So. Okay, man. Well, thanks, Andrew, for now. Let's head to the 21 minutes, because we have all kinds of questions for you about Galloway Money and Blink Wallet. And we would really love to ask
you. All right.
Connect o mundo.
Well, you said it before, the Bitcoin Beach Wallet, that was the origin, started as great proof of concept. And with Blink Wallet, Galloway is aiming for speed and more convenience. Can you elaborate on some of the technical features of Blink that differs from the earlier version?
Sure. So Blink is the Bitcoin Beach Wallet. So it's the same wallet. If you downloaded it a year and a half ago and then, you know, you updated it, it will be the same wallet. It's evolved, right? And so the original Bitcoin Beach Wallet was built in 2020. You know, prior to the Bitcoin law in El Salvador even being announced, and it was built on the ground in El Zante. So yeah. Nicolas was down there, you know, testing it out with merchants and community members. So it's designed for bottom-up Bitcoin adoption, right? Mm-hmm. And so for people who are experiencing Bitcoin through the Lightning Network, right? Rather than like, okay, you get orange-pilled, you do 500 hours of research, and then you say, oh, Lightning is cool, I'm going to like dabble. It's like, no, this person's like, hey, do you want to accept Bitcoin for like your product or service? Right. It's a very different like approach. Yeah, yeah. And so many of the things that were initially the features that were initially there, as well as the features that we've been adding, like come from that context, which is like, what do people at the forefront of Lightning adoption, like using Lightning as money, need? And so in the early days, it was things like the printable QR code, right? So a printable pay code you can scan so that, you know, somebody who's selling a snow cone doesn't have to wash their hands, put it down, take a phone out, create an invoice, right? Because that's more difficult than just saying, give me a dollar, right? Yeah, And humans hate change, right? So you need to make it better than using cash or credit card or whatever they're using. So things like that, like pay code, it has a map feature. So like, which is a cool tool to be able to find out where to spend Bitcoin, but also for a merchant to say, hey, your two neighbors are accepting Bitcoin, would you also like to be on the map, right? And so, and now we have btcmap.org, which is a fantastic project.
Yeah, yeah.
But like in the early days, didn't have that. It also has an education section in it, so people can be confident to say like, oh, I only have 1 minute. Yeah, I'm in a taxi cab. And like, I'm like, hey, download Blink and it'll teach you like the basics. It'll like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't have time to tell you, right? But you're setting somebody off on the right foot on something. And then there's a lot of other features that, you know, I mean, we're just nonstop, right? So one of the things that we've realized maybe 6 to 9 months ago is that the Bitcoin Beach Wallet helped El Zante build their circular economy. It was, you know, a lot of the credit, most of the credit goes to the people, right, behind these projects.
Yeah, sure.
But having a good tool or good tools in the toolbox is helpful as well. And so now there's 50 other projects that are trying to replicate Bitcoin Beach Experiment all over the world.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were saying, I want to use Bitcoin Beach Wallet. But it did. We needed to spend some time on the wallet. So we added languages. We went from like 5 to 20 languages. We added display currency. So if I'm in Brazil, I can see Real. And if I'm in, you know, yeah, South Africa, I can see Rand. And so we had to go about making it more accessible to people. And now we're like, okay, like what other things do people need? Because you're seeing it as like one of the great tools in their toolbox, alongside, you know, Blink is custodial, but you also have a self custody wallet in the toolbox. You have like these other, you know, you have Azteco, you have BTC Map, right? And you have this little like toolkit that you use for adoption. And we're trying to make Blink one of like the great tools in that toolbox for people to use to like make it easy on them.
So that were also the incentives then to start building the Blink wallet as a successor of the Bitcoin Beach wallet.
Yeah, it was really kind of driven by the demand, I think, from people. And so maybe one thing to share too is that Galloway's focus is building infrastructure, open source infrastructure for people to launch their own wallets, right? And so you may have heard of Bitcoin Jungle, which is a project in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 2021, late 2021, they forked the Bitcoin Beach wallet and they launched their own app like within a couple of weeks. And they actually just added this past week, they added the ability to buy Bitcoin with it, right? And this is a beautiful thing, right? This is the beauty of open source software.
Yeah.
Not to mention Lee and the team at Bitcoin Jungle has contributed back to the stack. And we would love that to happen all over the world. But the thing is like the amount of work, the funding, you need funding or developers like a Lee to be able to launch a Bitcoin Brazil wallet and a Bitcoin South Africa wallet and a Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
And so there was really a demand like, hey, we have a today problem and there's a solution today called, you know, Bitcoin Beach Wallet. And so we said, okay, well, let's help, right? Because like we believe in adoption. We believe in like helping people on board. And lastly, I'll say, you know, alongside the languages and the display currencies, we needed a name that was short and globally accessible.
Fits it better, right? Because Bitcoin Beach, and everyone is thinking about Bitcoin Beach.
Blink of an eye.
Yeah, blink of an eye. Fun fact is, a little bit of the origin was around. James Donald was one of the first guys to communicate with Satoshi in the message boards, and he said, "Let us call a Bitcoin bank a bink." And so Blink is kind of like a play as well, like a Bitcoin Lightning. Just add Lightning to Bink. We're not a bank. We're So and then the last thing, I mean, we had to get away from the acronym from Bitcoin Beach Wallet is NFSW. And so Blink was born, and it's been great, received very well.
I loved it in the early days also, the Bitcoin Beach Wallet. And to put yourself on the map, you should talk with someone through WhatsApp. And then this is a future step for Blink to grow. And I'm also curious, can you tell us more about what security measures are implemented in Blink Wallet? And maybe some things have changed to ensure users' funds are safe.
Yeah. And actually, before I answer that, the one feature that I completely glossed over because I feel like it's been there for a little while is stable sats, right?
Stable sats, so yeah, of course.
One of the things that people wanted access to was stable sats to be able to hold value constant in a Lightning wallet because it lowers the friction for onboarding people to say, you can use the magic of Lightning without yet having to be ready to be exposed to volatility. So if you're a merchant selling hot dogs, you earn $20 and tomorrow it's also $20, right? And then you can like orange pill yourself over time and learn about that. So that was one thing that we really, I think was...
Yeah, that really lowers the barriers for a non-coiner to start with it. So yeah, indeed.
Exactly. So on the security front, like, there's a couple of things to think about. So Blink is a custodial wallet, right? And so you're not having a seed phrase, right?
Yeah.
Instead, you're having, you know, an account, so to speak.
Yeah.
And like, I think security sits on like there's the infrastructure side, and then there's the user security, like the end user, like facing security. On the infrastructure side, It's using multi-sig custody. The majority of the funds are in cold storage with some in the hot wallet for the ability to transact and send funds. And we also spend a lot of time on the cloud infrastructure and deployment, right? So we're building Galloway. So Blink is built on Galloway, which is building like enterprise scale software, right? That the, insert your favorite big company could use, right? To replace their shitty reward points or something in the future, right? So we're building from that, like from that lens, sort of the that large scale. And then on the end user front, there's a few things. And so you create an account using a phone number, which allows you to recover, right? To say you lose your phone or you break your phone, the funds don't just disappear, right? You can actually get recovery access. But there's a little bit more to that. So you have like the biometrics, so you can do face or fingerprint. You can do a PIN code. And then we're adding, it's like probably launching in a week, within the week or two, is email or like 2FA to be able to say, okay, not just like relying on a phone number, but say I'm going to attach an email to it or like an authenticator code or something like that. And then there's like the social side of security, because many, like most of the small businesses in the world or most of the businesses in the world are like two people or four people, right? And so if you're a merchant who wants to accept Bitcoin, you don't want to give access to your wallet to your employees just so that you can accept Bitcoin. And so we have, for instance, like a web app, which is a point of sale. We call it the cash register. And like your employee can pin it to their home screen, and now they can accept Bitcoin. It's receive only, right? So like there's security in that way as well. So I think like security has many different vectors. And we try and think really hard about all of those.
And what steps are taken by Galloway and Blink Wallet to make Lightning transactions more user-friendly for those who might not be technical inclined? You already touched some of the subjects, obviously, but can you maybe elaborate a bit more?
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest things that needs to be solved and that we spend a lot of time from the early days thinking about, and we still do, because as I said, like, many of the people who are onboard to Blink, it's their first Lightning wallet. And so if you're a merchant and you accept Bitcoin and you show somebody a LN URL, a pay, a pay code, right? And they're using Strike or Chivo or something like this, it doesn't pay to that. And like the interoperability of Lightning wallets is a very difficult problem. And it's not really to place blame on everybody. Everybody is at their, there's like, 30 different specs like to be thinking about and working on. And so I think that what we try to do is ensure that there's like fallback, that there's like the apps are not too slick, that like we include little tooltips in the app that says like, hey, like this is what this is, right? Like, I don't know if anybody remembers they're like just trying Lightning for the first time, but like it's hard. And like I spent a couple decades like with technology. So like, for instance, our the pay codes that we have, the printable pay codes, have a fallback to the cash register. And it says so on it. It says if you have trouble scanning this, just scan it with your phone camera and you'll go to the cash register. And so like we try to lower the barriers. And then we try to like just stay like very up to spec on a lot of different things. So like NFC, LNURL withdraw. A lot of people are using like Azteco. And so like we strive for that. Like if you reach for Blink Wallet, it will just work like on either side, right? And we try to like communicate with other projects to make sure that like we are providing a good experience.
You're mentioning Azteco, so those are the vouchers, right? The vouchers that you can sweep.
Like Lightsats. So you're actually scanning a QR to receive Satoshis. Yeah. And so like actually Kotatsu, I don't know if you guys did an interview with him from Machikura
Project.
We did. Kotatsu.
Of course.
So he did the contribution for the LNURL withdrawal.
That's great.
Which was cool.
Yeah,
cool.
It is.
So we try. Yeah. So to make it easy on people, we try to do the hard work of like having as many like specs complete as we can. But then also there's like an education and a UX like component to it, which is making sure that like your error messages like are helpful to people, because you can't always be there to educate.
Lowering the barrier. And I said it before, I remember the educational quiz to do with the Bitcoin wallet to gain some satoshis. I really like the incentive, and it does work, because you're trying it out. In another interview, the growth of accessibility was discussed, and in terms of education, could you elaborate on what educational resources Gallery provides to its users? Maybe through Blink, of course.
Yeah. So education, I think, is probably the biggest thing that will make or break Bitcoin adoption, is like getting the right type of information to the right individual that meets them in their context.
Yeah.
And so you see it saw with the early sort of the earn section that exists today. It's just a couple quick lessons to give you the basics. Actually, Kemal Preti Flacco on our team has revamped that section, is now six times bigger and earning more sats. So it's not yet built into the app, but it's available for people that want to see it. Some more education to go a little deeper into the orange pilling for people. But I think that there's a couple other things. As I mentioned, I call it 50 different communities that are doing similar things, which is to follow the footsteps of Bitcoin Beach and try to create circular economies. And as a product that many of them are using, we try to like convene people to say, hey, like you guys should connect each other. So we actually had a call about a week or two ago, and we had 40 different people from different communities, and they were sharing tips and lessons and templates, and like we actually publish guides that you can print out, and you know, things that will help you do orange pilling. And so it's like it's the in-app education. We have a GitHub repo with all these like posters, and you can create banners for meetups and things like that. And so we try to just be helpful and useful to especially the people who are orange pilling others, right? Yeah. Because it's lonely out there. I feel like, you know, when you're first starting a project and like you're the crazy one in town who's like walking into all the merchants asking them to accept Bitcoin, yeah. Right? And so we try to give them tools and things and lessons and connect them with other people.
That's important. Yeah.
You're also making it easier for developers to build on the Gallery platform. Can you maybe explain more about this?
Yeah. So the Galloy platform is essentially, and I think the best place to go, I'll show a video and then I'll kind of describe it a little bit. But Nicolas, our CEO, recently went to the MicroStrategy conference.
Yeah.
And he presented, it's like a 10-minute presentation called Be Your Own Bank for Corporations, right? And so so the idea is, you know, behind, you know, Nicolas and Justin, our CTO, there's this an incredible focus on like a developer experience and like continuing to every commit we make the stack a little bit more accessible to developers, a little bit easier to implement. And so one of the big things that we're doing is actually sort of decoupling the products or the parts of the stack, so that if you, for instance, are building a wallet and you just want to use stable sats, right? Like you don't have to run the whole Galloy stack to use stable sats. And so you have like a core ledger, a Bitcoin bridge we're calling Bria, stable sats, right? Like custody. So we're taking those pieces and making them more accessible. And then we're, you know, everything is FOSS. And so, you know, join us at chat.galloy.io. And, you know, you're just like communicating with the devs just the same way I am on a daily basis, I think. Yeah. And so I think that that's the other thing, is just being like present and kind of open with the people that are working. So feel free to come and ask questions.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, because there are a lot of developers out there who could be interested in it. The rise of the Nostr protocol introduced the ability to zap also with Lightning. And we know, of course, that you integrated Nostr with Blink. Can you elaborate a little bit on it, how it works, and what you guys have done?
Sure. There's a NIP, so
yeah.
What is it? Nostr Improvement Protocol.
Is it? It is.
So there's a NIP called NIP 57, which was sort of for zaps, right?
Yeah.
Which means that if you pay to like somebody's post to zap it, it kind of completes the loop, right?
Yeah.
Therefore you can say, okay, you know, Andrew zapped me or Edward zapped me. And so actually we were one of the first wallets to implement this when it was coming out. I think like Albi had it or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Usually.
They were like very, very quick in a lot of this stuff. Yeah. And we actually, it was funny. We just said, let's do a quick hackathon, you know? And so we opened a Zoom link and we said like, hey, we're going to work on like NIP 57. Anybody want to join? and like, aside from getting some weird, like, like spammers into the Zoom, like by accident, by publishing a Zoom link. We got Derek Ross, who's like, yeah, you know, heavily involved in Nostr space, and also Lee from Bitcoin Jungle.
Awesome.
And so Lee hopped in and we're like, hey, how does this work? How do we do this? And he like posts a repository into the chat. It was like, oh, I already did it for the Galloway stack, right? Because they have a wallet built on Galloway, right?
Yeah. And so that's amazing. Yeah.
It's the beauty of open source is, you know, you have your community coming in.
Yeah.
And so within like, you know, a day or so, we had Zaps enabled.
Awesome.
And we also, there's also NIP05, which is your like identifier.
Yeah.
So if you go to my profile, I'm, you know, agbegin@blink.sv. It's not something that we're we're mostly focused on like helping onboard people to Blink. We're definitely staying in touch with what's up with Nostr, but it's moving pretty fast and things are coming in and out due to Apple and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, and so like we're excited to be part of what's going on, but yeah, it's moving fast. It's really cool. Yeah.
Cool. And what's your vision on the future of Galloway and the Blink wallet? Where do you see you guys at, let's say 5 years from now?
It's a long time in lightning years.
No, I think it's a good question. I think that, so with Galloway, I think that we're still early, especially with our, you know, wading through the bear market right now. Like we're still early days in terms of enterprise Bitcoin and Lightning adoption, and we're building sort of product stack for like enterprise scale products, right? And so right now, I think what you see is that enterprises are dipping their toe into Bitcoin, and they're saying, "Okay, I'm going to spin up a quick like node. I'm going to issue a press release that I accept Lightning and see what happens." Right? It's like very like non-committal.
It's like the same with blockchain back in the days. I'm a blockchain company.
Yeah.
Right.
right. In the coming years, I believe that, you know, companies that decide that they're going to get into Bitcoin and sort of like plug into Bitcoin and the Lightning Network in a meaningful way, they're going to be looking to a stack like Galloway, like, you know, that enterprise level stack. And then with Blink, you know, Blink is you know, as I mentioned, a toolkit, or rather a tool in the Bitcoin adoption toolkit. And so Galloway is kind of like building for sovereign organizations.
Yep.
Blink is building for like helping drive global adoption. And I hope that because it's open source, I hope that there's many Blinks in 5 years from now, and the end user will win due to the competition.
That will be the main goal, right?
Yeah.
To succeed in both of them. And can you maybe share some, because I can imagine that you guys at Galloway are talking to big companies on integrating your service. Do you have maybe some companies that that you're talking with now? And I can imagine that some of them are also must keep secret, kept secret, but maybe you can.
Oh, ran out of time. There's a lot of very cool conversations happening about the Galloway stack. Again, with Nicolas presenting at MicroStrategy for corporations, there was a lot of big like consultancies there and big companies there. And so there's some interesting conversations going. I'll say, because he said it first, Eric from Prospera in Honduras was on Stefan Lavera and was like, hey, like, I'm really interested to see, you know, what we could do with Galloway at some point, right? And so, like, you know, I think that there's a lot of interest, right? There's also a lot of building going on, which can't really, you can kind of see it if you hang out, like come to chat.galloway.io, you can kind of like poke around and connect with people who are interested to build on it. I'm really excited about it.
Cool. And we are too.
Yeah, we're going to follow it. Yeah, of course. And it goes in parallel, right? So building and, of course, all those companies getting together if the innovation gets further ahead. So then things will change. So thanks again. We had a lot of more questions about the Lightning Network, of course. But, this is so interesting. So maybe next time we should do the other questions. So thanks again.
Yeah, we have one question left for you, Andrew. And the fun thing is, you may choose him yourself.
Yeah.
We I have one prepared from Max DeMarco. He's a Bitcoin filmmaker. We have one from Albert Bu. He's from NeutronPay. And one from Kian. He is from Stacker.news.
Gotta go Kian. I'm a huge Stacker News fan.
Cool.
Here it comes.
Let's go for it.
Hi, my name is Kian from Stacker News. I'd like to know when you think people will spend Bitcoin more than they save it.
Right now. Today, there is a growing, cohort of Bitcoiners who believe in spend and replace, spend and stack. They're all over the world. They may not be in the U.S. or in some of the countries that that some of the Bitcoiners live in for where the hodlers are, but there are spenders, and it's happening today.
Cool,
awesome.
Say cool, genius.
Thanks. Okay, where can people follow you? Andrew, can you maybe share your Twitter or obviously the projects? Well, you already mentioned Gallo.io, but maybe some other websites to share.
Yeah, personally, AGBegin on everything, Twitter and anything else. Galloy, so if you want to build, connect with us, chat.galloy.io is probably the best place, or github.com/galloymoney. And try out Blink. Go to blink.sv is the best website or best place to go to get the wallet, or on Twitter at BlinkBTC.
Awesome.
Cool.
It's easy remember. Thanks again. And thanks for listening for all the others. And thanks to all the members participating in Sushi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. So if you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connectworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. So we need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Ciao, Andrew.
See you.
Bye-bye.